أي من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. وبعد، إن شاء الله. Once again, if you brothers can get off the walls and move up, there's going to be some people coming in. We're trying to fill up as much space as we can, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his glorious book, after saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. This day I have perfected your deen for you, we the Muslim. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي and completed my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا and I've chosen for you Islam as your deen. And again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلُ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever chooses or desires a deen other than Islam, it will never be accepted from him or her, and in the last day they will be of the losers, meaning they will be in the hellfire. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, men and women of Islam, in these two verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that we have been blessed by him to have as a total way of life Islam. Unfortunately, there are some Muslims, and they're growing in numbers, who believe that Islam is a religion. Unfortunately, there are some among the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who believe that Islam is a relic, something to relish, that you do part-time, which is the base origin of the word religion, something that you relish or you relic. But Islam is a deen. And Allah chose this deen after completing it and perfecting it, and he was happy and pleased to give it to us as a total way of life. Once again, unfortunately, there are some Muslims, and the numbers are growing, who believe that their culture, and we're going to be using this word a lot, inshallah, in this brief khutbah, that their culture, quote unquote, culture, is separate from the deen or exempt from the deen. And that if they don't find anything in Islam that contradicts what they think contradicts their quote-unquote culture, it's okay. Let's define the meaning of the word culture according to the American Heritage Dictionary. Listen very closely. According to the American Heritage Dictionary, the Kuffar themselves, and you think about your lives as Muslims and your deen, this is the definition of culture. The totality of socially transmitted behavior patterns, arts, beliefs, institutions, and all other products of human work and thought, characteristic of a community or a population. I'll say it again. Please listen very closely to the definition of the word culture. the totality of socially transmitted behavior patterns, arts, beliefs, institutions, and all other products of human work and thought. Characteristic, in other words, indicative of a specific community or a population of people. And then there's other definitions that they gave. Another is a style of social and artistic expression peculiar to a society or a class. Now, men and women of Islam, we'd like to inform you that there are only two cultures in this existence. Despite and including the definition that the kuffar have given us in their dictionaries, there are only two, not three, not five, not seven different types of cultures. If there are 100 types of people in the world, there are not 100 types of cultures. There are only two cultures. The first one is the Islamic culture. The deen of Islam, which is a culture within itself in totality, which is based on the Islamic concepts, the Islamic precepts, the Islamic prescripts, the Sharia, the Quran, the Sunnah, and the way the companions understood and practiced it. This is the first type of culture. The second type of culture, and listen very closely to the definition of the second and only other type of culture, no matter what color it may come in, or what language it may speak, or what people are transmitting it socially, there's only another type of culture and only one other. That culture is a Jahiliyyah culture. A Jahili culture. A Jahili culture which is based on, or it manifests itself in various modes of living which are nevertheless all based on one thing and one thing only. And that is giving human thought the status of an ilah. Giving human thought. The Jahiliyyah culture is based on human thought. What human beings think they need to do, and that becomes culture. So their human thought and the ideas and the mores and the values and the customs have now become an ilah with Allah Azza wa Jal. And we say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. There is no ilah, there is no ma'bud, there is no ma'lub, there is no object worthy of worship except Allah, and He's alone, He has no partners. So the culture of Jahiliyyah, unlike the culture of Islam, that is based on the Quran and the Sunnah and the way the Sahaba understood it and practiced it, is based on human thought. And it's not based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. In addition to this, the Jahiliyyah culture, no matter what color it may be, or what language the people speak, is going to be either truth or falsehood based on that human thought away from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means whatever the people of the so-called quote-unquote culture seem good is going to be good. And whatever they deem as being bad is going to be bad. They don't base it on what Allah revealed, and they don't base it on what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and did, and they don't base it on how the companions understood it and practiced it. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Islam is not merely theological doctrine. Islam is not merely a code of concepts and rituals. Islam is a civilization. It's a complete way of life. It's a culture within itself. And the historical implications of that culture need to be looked at. What exactly is the culture of the Muslim? Can the Muslim retain his quote-unquote Russian culture and still be a Muslim? Can the Muslim retain his quote-unquote African culture and still be a Muslim? Can the Muslim retain his Afro-American quote-unquote culture and still be a Muslim? What we have to do, brothers and sisters in Islam, is not be worried about Islamicizing the city. We should not think about Islamicizing the county. We should not think about Islamicizing the state or the country or the world. As some people say, remake the world. What we should be trying to do is desecularize the city and desecularize the county and desecularize the state and the country. Not Islamicize it, because anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that is good for human beings is already Islamic. You don't have to give it the name Islamic this and Islamic that. Unfortunately, the Muslims have lost their identity and their culture. And any time, brothers and sisters in Islam, any time you have become a slave culturally, you have become a slave politically. You can't get around it. If there is cultural slavery, there's political slavery. Listen to some of the words of some of the scholars and learned people of the past. They said, when Islamic civilization was supreme, the Muslims created. And of course we know Allah is Al-Khaliq. We mean it in the loose sense. They were the originators of the mores and values of the people of those times. When they were the rulers, when we, the Muslims, were the rulers, we created. And then, when we came under Western or European or American or whatever, Jahili domination, then we only imitated. And what we imitated, as a result of being the vanquished people, the conquered people, became our culture. And to this day, Muslims are now calling what they have all around the world their culture, excluded from the Islamic culture. I pray Allah, brothers and sisters, that you understand what I'm telling you right now from the people of knowledge. Listen to what they said. Islam is not merely a religion. It's a complete way of life, a complete civilization, which was successfully implemented in history. Therefore, an acceptance of our history implies an acceptance of our historical civilization. Then why are the Muslims, why should we now today deny the historical basis of the Islamic way of life? Now, among the Muslims, instead of a full, rich heritage that the Muslims shared, Islam has now become colorless. Islam has now become emasculated. Islam has now become vague, abstract, far from reality. Some of the other scholars of Islam, they said, now there's no Islamic dress. There's no Islamic architecture. Now the solar calendar has replaced the lunar calendar. Roman script has replaced the language of the culture of Islam, which is Arabic, no matter where you come from. The language of the Muslims, the cultural language of the Muslims, is the Arabic language, no matter where you live or where you come from. We cannot separate Arabic from Islam. Therefore, once we entered into Islam, our language and our culture is Arabic. I'm not saying to disregard the fact that you're African in descent, or Chinese in descent, or Russian in descent, but your language as a Muslim is Arabic. And that's why many of the scholars of the past, like Ibn Taymiyyah and others, rahimahullah, they saw it fit that the Muslims should speak only Arabic among themselves and not the language of their people. They go on. Islam, the culture that is of Islam, quote unquote, now has only the appearance of Islam. We now spend more time using nomenclatures and terminologies, the spirit of Islam. No more the letter, but the spirit of Islam is this. When everything else on that Islam is a Jahiliyyah presence. It looks just like the Kufar with an Islamic name. And now we have Islamic songs. When in the time of the Prophet, whatever they did that seemed like a song was a song. Why do we now call them Islamic songs? Why? Why is it now Islamic dress? In the time of the Prophet, it was dressed because they were Muslim and it was Islamic. But do we have to give the adjective Islamic this and Islamic that? And because we're vanquished and conquered either by the kuffar or by our nafs or shaitan, a'udhu billahi minhu, we now have Islamic videos and movies. We now have Islamic skating parties. We now have Islamic fashion shows. And now, tonight, the Muslim League of Voters, between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. in the morning, as advertised in the Star of the newspaper, will host an evening of dancing, dining, and live entertainment at the Terrace Ballroom. Where have the Muslims come to, brothers and sisters? Between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. when you could be praying, or making zikr, or spending time teaching your children, when you're complaining about Islamic schools being too expensive, you're dining and dancing with live entertainment, Muslims coming together, shaking themselves, oh, but I'm dancing with my wife. Is this our culture? No. This is not our culture. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ إِسْرَافٍ إِلَّا وَبِجَانِبِهِ حَقٌ مُبِيرٌ. Some of the people of the past have said. They have said, there's no excess except at the expense of a neglected duty. Between 8 and 2, the Muslims are going to be dining and dancing. وَلَيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. What is the reason for this, brothers and sisters in Islam? What is the reason for these problems that we're having, thinking that this is our culture, no matter what it may be? Listen to what Ibn Khaldun said, rahimahullah. He said, the reason for this is that the soul always sees perfection in the person who is superior to it. This is natural. And to whom the soul is subservient. He said, it considers him perfect, either because A, it is impressed by the respect it has for him, or B, it erroneously assumes that its own subservience to him is not due to the nature of defeat, but to the perfection of the victor. You see, we have an inferiority complex. This is the reason why we imitate the kuffar in everything that we do, and we just put an Islamic name to it. He goes on, he says, if that erroneous assumption fixes itself, establishes itself in the soul of that person, it becomes a firm belief. The soul then adopts all the manners, mores, customs, and cultures of the victor, and assimilates itself to the victor. This then, Ibn Khaldun rahimahullah said, is imitation. And the Prophet to this said, من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. Whoever imitates a people, he's of them. Then he goes on. He says, or, another reason, the soul may possibly think that the superiority of the victor is not the result of his group feeling, his group community feeling, or great fortitude, but of his customs and manners. Brothers and sisters in Islam, our culture may be summed up in five things. Wajib, haram, mustahab, makruh, and mubah. That's our culture. Either it's obligatory, either it's haram, either it's highly recommended, highly disliked, or permissible. Now, if you want to know what your culture is, you have to fit what you've learned from your father, and from what your father learned from his father, and from his father, and his father, to those five ahkam of Allah's sharia. Either it's going to be wajib for you, or haram against you, or for you. Either it's going to be highly recommended as mustahab, or it's going to be makruh, something disliked by Allah and His Messenger. Or it's going to be permissible, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. Once again, brothers and sisters in Islam, some of us look at some of the things that came from the Arabs who were Muslims in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when Islam spread throughout the world, and unfortunately because of ignorance, we thought that those things were purely just that, Arab. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the last and final messenger to all human beings, and he was an Arab? Was that by chance? Was that a coincidence? Why is the Quran in the Arabic language? Why is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah preserved in the Arabic language? Why is the language for those who think that these things are only cultural to the Arabs that we do as Muslims? Why is the language of Jannah Arabic? And the language in the grave is Arabic, whether you learn it or not. You're going to say, when asked the question, من ربك ربي الله in Arabic. Who is your Lord? My Lord is Allah. You won't be saying it in English. Why did Allah choose the Arabic language, and why did He choose the Arabs to be the vessels? Is it prejudice? No. It's because those things, brothers and sisters in Islam, that we think are cultural, many of them are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah included this great deen among the Arabs. We're not saying, brothers and sisters, that there are things that people adopt for themselves they cannot keep. But they have to go back to our true culture, which are those five ahkam that we mentioned in the first part of the khutbah. For instance, African print material. This is my culture. I'm from Africa. I'm from Ghana. I'm from Senegal. I can wear it. Of course you can wear it. But now you have to look at the ahkam of Allah Sharia to see if there's something offensive and you're wearing your African print. Can the women, just because their culture, quote unquote, is African, can they wear this African print? If it's too loud, if it's too ostentatious, if it's too showy, then you have to throw it away, brothers and sisters. You have to throw it away. And this is why the scholars of Islam say, من دخل الإسلام خلع رداء الكفر. Whoever enters into Islam, they throw off the cloak of disbelief. وَدَخَلَ الْإِسْلَامِ عَرَايًا. And they enter into Islam naked. Whoever enters into Islam, they throw off the cloak of kufr. And they enter into Islam naked. Are we saying you can't wear suits and ties? No. But just that you should go back to see what the five ahkam of Islam say about it. And if the five ahkam of Islam has something to say about it, if the Sharia of Allah has something to say about it, then you are obligated, if it says it's a no-no, to abandon it immediately. You cannot say this is part of my culture. Remember what Ibn Khaldun said. He said that the vanquished individuals always imitate their victim. Some of the scholars of Islam, of the things that they've left for us, that they've deduced from the Sharia, allows us, brothers and sisters, to know exactly what we can do and what we can't do, what we can wear, what we can't wear, how we should walk, how we should speak, what we should eat. Some Muslims, they don't have the opportunity to eat dates when they break their fast. And some Muslims, out of ignorance, think that this date is only because the Prophet ﷺ has been plentiful in the city of Medina, and this is a fruit that is grown in that area of the world, so you can take it or you can leave it. But there were other things in the time of the Prophet ﷺ that he could have used besides dates. Why is it that Allah revealed through revelation that the Messenger of Allah should break his fast, and the Muslims are highly recommended, one of the five ahkam, highly recommended to use the dates? Listen to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get a hint. He said, "Baytun la tamra fihi kal bayti la ta'ama fihi." Hadith sahih. He said, "A house with no dates in it is like a house that has no food in it." Allahu Akbar. In another narration, he said, "Baytun la tamra fihi jiya'un ahluhu." A house that has no dates in it, their inhabitants are hungry, starving. See, brothers and sisters in Islam, there are some things that are just not from the so-called culture of Islam or of the Arabs. There are some things that are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is Kwanzaa a part of our culture, brothers and sisters? Can we safely say that Kwanzaa is a part of the African-American culture? Can we participate with them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us three Eids. Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and Jum'ah. Alhamdulillah. As for participating in these things that are the culture of the kuffar and their jahiliyyah thoughts, one of the scholars of Islam, of the Salaf of the past, he said, when going to the festivals of those individuals, watching the Muslims go to those festivals, He said cutting a watermelon in their festivals is like slaughtering a pig. Just cutting a watermelon for their festivals is like slaughtering a pig. In many cultures, so-called cultures, standing up for someone when they walk in is part of their culture, and if you don't do it, it's disrespectful. Unfortunately, this has crept into the Islamic culture. When the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came in, not one of them, because they knew he hated it, would stand up for him. Why do we now, even among the Muslims, imitate the kuffar and standing up for women, standing up for the elderly, standing up for dignitaries, standing up for the ulama, when this is not a part of Islam? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, whoever likes that someone to stand up for him, then he has his feet already waiting for him in the hellfire. Why is it, brothers and sisters, that when we shake hands, we take off our gloves? Is this a part of our culture? Have we even stopped to think that it may be from paganism that you take off your gloves? Oh no, we don't want our skin to touch the skin of the leather. Or we don't want our glove, the leather glove, to touch the leather glove of the other person, so we take off our gloves and we shake hands. But have you checked to find out what is the origin of this moray in the culture? Brothers and sisters in Islam, in conclusion, our culture is the culture of Islam. We need to go back to find out what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us, and how the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood it and practiced it. We don't want to fall into the thinking pattern or the mindset of some of the people, Muslims, who make statements like this, and this is a direct quote. In every Muslim country, from Saudi Arabia to Mauritania, and from Indonesia to Pakistan, the Muslim people are today struggling for a bare existence. The mullahs, or the muftis, or the ulama, will blame Western influence for this decadence. They forget that in those places where Western influence has not yet penetrated, listen to the statement of a Muslim, they forget, in those places where Western influence has not yet penetrated, one sees the very worst picture of Islam. Would they deny me the fact that the worst and the most backward places are not those where the Western winds of progress have swept through, but those where for centuries the abuses of religious authority have been the perpetrators of those particular things? It is because of this class, meaning the scholars, this Muslim is saying, which will not permit Islam to adjust freely to the changing times, that Islam is in a state of stagnation. Then listen to what our brother in Islam says. To get rid of all the curses afflicting the Muslim world, we will have to forget all interpretations of the Quran and the Sunnah given to us by dogmatic, learned ulama. The day we try to understand the Quran by ourselves, we'll be able then to save Islam. This is a Muslim saying this. The day when we approach the Quran by ourselves, without going to Al-Bukhari, without going to At-Tabari, without going to Ibn Kathir, and before them, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and Hafsa, and Aisha, if we don't go to the Quran trying to interpret it for ourselves, and the cultural things that we do among ourselves, if we don't do this, then Islam will not be saved. And then he said lastly, to save our women from the indignity of over 1400 years. We will be able to bring them under the light of freedom and equality. Religion will be practiced by love and not by compulsion. This is what the Christians call their deen. God is love. My religion is love. And then he ended it, life will be free from boredom. There will be play as well as prayer, like that dining tonight between 8 and 2 in the morning. And as well, we will see the beautiful meaning of Islam as a clear-cut diamond. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to return to the deen. This is our culture. Islam is our culture, and there's no other culture other than that except for Jahili. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.